You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the Thrive podcast series hosted by Med Learning Group. My name is Dave Chapman, and I will be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, we will review the management of patients with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, typical regimens, side effects to be aware of, and how to treat acute flares. Joining me today is He Jin An, dermatology physician assistant at University of Wisconsin Health in Wisconsin. Welcome, He Jin.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. And just want to review a number of questions with you to capitalize on your expertise. And the first is, in treating patients with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, how are you typically managing those patients? Are you using combination therapy with systemic and topical treatments, or what's been your typical treatment type?
Yeah, moderate to severe atopic dermatitis is very tricky to treat. I think it's important to ultimately take a shared decision-making approach with patients and families when arriving at a treatment decision, prioritizing what their treatment goals may be. Some patients may say they want to use the topical medications less, be less itchy, have clear skin, or simply just not deal with eczema flares. We're usually able to adequately manage patients with long-standing topical treatments or non-pharmacologic methods. However, there are many individuals that have disease that profoundly impacts their quality of life and are inadequately managed with these methods. Typically, patients who move to systemic therapy are the ones that don't improve with topical treatments, or they're needing to use it constantly to keep it under control, or it's significantly impacting their quality of life in terms of sleep, behavioral disturbances, or mental health. Generally, when we move to systemic therapy, we need to use topical treatments, at least in the beginning, then gradually taper off, hopefully as the itching and eczema improve. There are some patients who may need to continue treating focal areas of eczema with topical medications, even while they're on systemic therapy. While patients are on systemic therapy, it's also reasonable to consider changing some of their topical treatments as appropriate, as they might not need as strong of a steroid, for example. Taking into account if it's a pediatric or adult patient is also pretty important. You know, as a pediatric dermatology PA specifically, we tend to initially try to focus on gentler and safer treatments, mainly with good dry and gentle skincare and topical medications, as there is minimal to no systemic absorption, but there are some patients who need something more powerful to get their eczema under control. Our threshold for safety issues and side effects are much lower in the pediatric patients as it should be.
Speaking of safety and with your pediatric population, I'm curious, what side effects do you usually educate, I suppose in this case would be the parents or caregivers and the patient with, and I'm not sure, well, looking at topical as well as maybe systemic therapies.
Yeah, I think the main side effect that can come with topical steroids are atrophy or skin thinning. And honestly, if they're using it appropriately in terms of treating it to active inflammation or areas of eczema, it's unlikely that that will even occur. In terms of systemic therapy, you know, we have a lot of different systemic therapies that have emerged recently, and dupilumab is one of the systemic medications that we utilize a lot for patients who have refractory disease. It's truly changed a lot of my patients' lives, especially in pediatric dermatology. It's a biologic agent that blocks IL-4, IL-13 receptors. It's FDA approved for moderate to severe eczema in adults and patients and pediatric patients 6 months of age and older. It's also FDA approved for other atopic comorbidities, including asthma, eosinophilic esophagitis. And compared to conventional immunosuppressants, it has a favorable safety profile, as it's a targeted treatment for specific inflammatory pathways involved in atopic dermatitis. The side effects that I specifically discuss with the patient and families are mainly local injection site reactions, because it is an injectable, conjunctivitis or ocular inflammation, which this tends to favor patients who have a baseline elevated IgE titer. But this also often resolves with continued treatment with dupilumab. Facial dermatitis or persistent red face, the need to hold a dose in the setting of getting a live vaccine, as it hasn't been well studied in this population, and potentially an increased risk of parasitic infections. There has also been a slightly higher incidence, although still very low, of herpes and viral upper respiratory infections in patients on dupilumab, but the data is conflicting. And then we have upadacitinib and abrocitinib, which are two oral JAK inhibitors that were recently FDA approved for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Upadacitinib is approved for adults and children over 12 years of age. Abrocitinib is approved for adults. These may be indicated in patients who fail biologics, or patients unable to do biologics due to fear of injections, or patients who have other comorbidities that could also benefit from it, such as alopecia universalis. The long-term safety profile, however, is lacking. They have a black box warning regarding the risk of serious infections, including HSV, varicella, COVID, mortality, malignancy, major adverse cardiovascular events, and thrombosis. So we routinely check a CBC to, you know, monitor for cytopenias, a CMP for liver abnormalities, and a lipid panel for hyperlipidemia at baseline and while they're on the drug. I think it's really important at the end of the day to be honest and transparent with patients and families, as it really comes down to shared decision-making. This could be the right medication for the right patient. And then lastly, we have some of our older conventional immunosuppressive medications, including methotrexate, cyclosporin, mycophenolate, and azathioprine. But I try not to use these as much because they're not targeted for atopic dermatitis. So there are many trade-offs due to the risks, including but not limited to malignancy and infections. These all require long-term monitoring for regular checks of blood counts, kidney, and liver functions. They're also technically off-label use for atopic dermatitis, and so they haven't been studied as much to the same level as our newer therapies.
And given your pediatric population, I'm curious, can you describe a typical patient visit to the clinic?
Yeah, obtaining a thorough history of the patient's atopic dermatitis is ultimately paramount in understanding where they currently are. This would include, you know, how long they've had it, frequency of flares, typical areas of involvement, severity of itch, potential known triggers, any impairment to their sleep or psychosocial life, past treatments and their compliance in terms of how many times they're using it and for how long, any history of super infections, and their general skincare regimen in terms of bathing frequency, how often they're moisturizing their skin, and what types of products they use in terms of soaps and laundry detergent. You know, one of the pillars of treatment is optimizing and strengthening their skin barrier by protecting it with good, dry, and gentle skincare. So obtaining this information is essential. Then I will examine their skin pretty thoroughly. I often have patients say that their eczema isn't as bad as it could be, but I've found in most of these patients with moderate to severe disease that they definitely have significant eczema still on exam. It also doesn't have to be widespread to be considered moderate to severe. It could be to focal areas that just never clear up or areas that are really visible that may impact their self-image. After the exam, I discuss with them a brief overview of the pathogenesis of atopic dermatitis, as I feel it's helpful for patients and families to understand why it can occur and what can exacerbate it. And then lastly, I dive into treatment options, including good, dry, gentle skincare, topical medications, phototherapy, and systemic medications if necessary. The risks and benefits for all these treatment options, and what our short-term and long-term goals may be.
Great, that's very helpful. I'm curious, when you're managing patients and when they have a flare, how do you specifically manage that acutely? And how much does what their maintenance therapy has been determines how you manage those flares?
Yeah, first and foremost, I feel all patients with atopic dermatitis, whether it's mild, moderate, severe, or whether they are on topical or systemic therapies, should have a good maintenance of moisturizing their skin daily and avoiding potential triggers. The nature of atopic dermatitis that is that it can flare intermittently and there will be good days and bad. I typically manage acute flares with topical steroids as first line, a lot of times in combination with other modalities such as wet wraps and bleach baths. If they are already using certain topical medications, then I may change those to something that could provide better relief for short term. For example, many of my patients are typically using either a steroid-sparing agent, such as a topical calcineurin inhibitor, or a lower to mid-potency steroid to focal areas of eczema that may flare intermittently. So I may have them switch to an appropriate higher-potency steroid for a short-term management. If they appear super infected, then I'll also do a bacterial culture for antibiotic sensitivities and likely start them empirically on oral antibiotics. I've had patients who come to me with very severe disease to start, and they are already using various topical medications without any improvement, and they look very miserable. These patients would most likely benefit in escalating to systemic therapy right away. One thing I wanted to add was we really recommend avoiding oral prednisone, which is a steroid. As I've seen many patients who may have been given short courses in the past when they're flaring very significantly, we often hear these patients say that it worked amazing, you know, their eczema cleared completely, but then they flared right after it was stopped. And oftentimes they're worse than what they were before. It's a short-term fix for a long-term condition. You can't keep giving patients prednisone either due to its safety profile.
No, good point. And curious, I know here in Connecticut, we get cold in the winter and the air seems cold and dry. I know in Wisconsin, obviously the same. Do you see an uptick in patients' flares in those dry months in the winter or not so much?
Yes, we certainly see a rise in flares when winter or fall weather hits. I think definitely the hard water in Wisconsin probably plays a role, the colder and drier seasons. And, you know, sometimes if patients do well throughout the year before the cold weather hits, they kind of get off their regimen of maintaining, you know, sort of good, dry, gentle skincare. So a lot of times we see an influx of patients come in during this time.
Well, we have a few minutes left. I just wanted to open it to you if there are any other points that you think we haven't touched that you'd like to address to the audience.
Yeah, I think ultimately there's a couple of things I would always emphasize with my patients and families. I think it's crucial to stress that it's important to treat atopic dermatitis. We often focus on discussing the risks of treatment options, but not necessarily the risks of untreated or undertreated eczema, such as how it can affect one's quality of life, including their mental health and sleep, risk of infections if it's untreated, and even development of allergies. The last thing is, while eczema is chronic, it doesn't necessarily mean they'll need to deal with it forever. There are some patients that may deal with it throughout their entire life, but there are some patients who go through phases where they have it for some time, but then they're much better for some time. So I think it's important to check in regularly, reevaluate, and change their treatment as needed.
Heejin, this has been great. Appreciate your time and sharing your expertise with us around managing patients with atopic dermatitis. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us. We hope you will listen to other episodes of the Thrive Atopic Dermatitis podcast series. This podcast was brought to you by Med Learning Group. Med Learning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians, nurses, and other healthcare practitioners. I would like to also give a special thank you to our grant supporters, Sanofi and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, who provided an unrestricted educational grant for this activity.